Good morning, everyone. A new day, with new speakers. I would like to introduce you, Mr. Matt Keller. He is the vice president of COSEC. He manages the company's FIPS and the Common Criteria Consulting Business Unit with a background in the cryptographic module validations and the security product certifications. Mr. Keller uses his experiences to ensure that the companies receive the assistance and the guidance they need at every step in their FIPS or CC evaluation or the acceptance to the UC APL list. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Keller for his presentation.
Thank you all very much. Let me find my actual presentation here as well. I know they had it up earlier. Hopefully it is in the folder marked presentations. Yes. Great. Well, thank you for joining me this morning at 9 o'clock. I know it's early, especially after several days of sitting in a conference room, so I appreciate you spending some time with me this morning. My name is Matt Keller. I work with COSEC Security. We're an IT security consulting company that helps product vendors move through different government certifications to sell into governments around the world. This is my first time speaking at the ICMC. I've attended all the previous ones, but this is my first chance to get to stand up here and share some of my thoughts. I'm excited because I like this conference a lot. It's a little bit smaller venue, and one of the things I really appreciate about it is a little bit like a family reunion in some cases, where you see some of the same faces and you get to hang out and talk a little bit and get caught up. But also, like some of my family reunions, you know each other well, you have history, and so you can also have a good, honest conversation. And I feel like there are times where we're comfortable challenging each other in this size of venue that don't happen at really large conferences. And so I appreciate that because the dialogue in some cases is way more interesting than just the presentation, the guy up here standing and talking. So the dialogue is the part I really like. So I'm here to talk about the Commercial Solutions for Classified and how that program relates to FIPS 140-2. The Commercial Solutions for Classified is important to me at COSEC because it's important to a number of my vendors that I work with. They want to be able to sell into the national security space. In order to do that, they need to move through these programs in order to get listed there. About three, four years ago, to about 2012, 2013, I got a call from a product vendor that we had helped get Common Criteria certified, and he said, "Matt, I can't sell because I can't get on this CSFC list." And I said, "CSFC list? Well, I've heard of some commercial solution stuff that the NSA was doing, but what's this list you're talking about?" Because the program was brand new at that point. It didn't have a public posted list of products, and they were figuring a lot of things out. There might have been one specification written at that point. So I did a little bit of research, and I talked to some people and learned a great deal about it. And since then, I've been able to kind of watch the program develop. So I wanted to spend some time sharing that with you all, confirm our understandings together, and then talk about how things kind of interweave with some of these other government certification programs. So in the IT security security space, we have a lot of acronyms. You all know, we've been hearing them all week. It's a common joke within COSEC. We try to see how many of these acronyms we can wedge into a single sentence with each other. So it's like, did you get your toe or your DRBG and your toe certified to meet the FCS claims and your CPP that was written by the ITC? Did you? Did you do it? And the person will, of course, respond back with as many acronyms as they can load into the sentence. But joking aside, there are a lot of acronyms to know here. And so I have sympathy for the product vendor sales staff that has to learn all these acronyms, in addition to all the jargon that goes into their industry and everything else. Or likewise, the federal purchasers that have all their government acronyms plus these, and I understand how they all start to sound the same. You need this acronym of things, and once you have that, then we think your product's secure. Well, they all just start to look the same. But the key point there is I think they're all different. Well, I know they're all different, but they all offer their own benefits and their things that they're going after. but they all have their own requirements as well. And so while I'm here to talk a little bit about how these things interact, I want to just hit one point, which is I think it's important for us to acknowledge that it's important to step back and look at the program as a whole, all of these different certifications, and say, okay, what do we need to do in order to sell, or product vendors, what do we need to do to sell where we want to sell? There's a whole series of certifications we probably have to collect, and we don't want to just get caught up in the fact that sales just said, you need FIPS, I heard I need FIPS, let's go get that. Because there is no one magic certification XYZ that says, now you're secure and now every agency around the world's going to purchase you. So I think product vendors need to have a holistic approach. Step back, put together a comprehensive plan of how you're going to collect these certifications and not end up collecting one or two and then find out, oh, I got to this other thing they needed and now we have to re-architect something and that's going to invalidate or make it difficult to redo future validations that we've already done. So I think it's important to have that comprehensive plan. That's my soapbox on comprehensive plan. Now I want to move a little bit more into CSFC specifically and how it kind of relates. I love photography. I spend a lot of time taking photos. Me and my wife both love to hike and take photos. This is a camera I used to own. It's a little Canon. I liked it because of the way it handled light with the lens. It did really well for sun flares. But one of the things I've noticed traveling to a bunch of these conferences is, because a lot of times we're traveling around, you're in different countries, you tack on a weekend, you travel with some of the people in the conference, and everybody has these beautiful digital SLRs. I have one at home and I love it. It seems like there's a bunch of amateur photographers in this space, and I think it's because we like technology toys. Oh, I gotta have the latest camera and I wanna know how all the features work. But I love taking photos, and when I go to take a photo, I don't care about that specific lens working or that piece over there or the battery or some of those other doohickeys. I don't even know what they do. I care about the whole thing working together. I need the whole solution to work, not just individual parts. I bring this up because CSFC has that focus of not just focused on parts, but looking at the whole system. Traditionally, we have this history of evaluating individual products that are ultimately going to be put into a system. And we evaluate a product and we say, that's secure. Okay, good, that product is secure. But what happens now when we put product A that's been tested and secure along with product B that's been tested and secure? One of the things we heard in the keynote by Paul was that you're adding complexity, right? Now you have multiple pieces all working together, and now there's more room for errors or unintended consequences. So you have the composability problem. Do you really know if you have certified product A and certified product B together? Is that secure? You don't know until you've done some assurance or some testing or something to have confidence in that. And that's a piece of what you're getting with the CSFC program. The main driver behind this program is this CNSSP number 11. Not CISSP. I know those are the letters that follow a lot of you on your business card or on your resume, and that's great, individual certification. But CNSSP, the Committee on National Security Systems Policy Number 11. And Policy Number 11 here, this is just a small piece of it, but it's a core piece that says we want to use layered commercial off-the-shelf products to protect our NSS, our national security systems. So now we're saying, let's use commercial products to protect classified types of information. And that's interesting. So how did they do that, or what's the goal with this program? So they want to use commercial products. They want to have validated pieces, but they want to put them together in a whole that's going to work together. One of the things I really like about this program is it uses the product evaluations that have already been done. It leverages something that was already there instead of inventing something new, but then adds layers on top of it to give you a whole system and more assurance in that overall system. I think this allows the federal agencies that are purchasing these products, and I don't actually put these products together, build systems, or work directly with them, but I believe the mission of this is to allow federal agencies to focus on their core mission and not spend quite so much time validating that all their networking components are secure and so forth. And so I can see a lot of value in it. If you remember the CNSSP quote that I put up there, it mentioned that it was using commercial off-the-shelf products. Well, the U.S. government in particular has a long history of using government-built products, things designed by the government, built for the government, tested by government agencies and then deployed. But one of the things that they found over time was commercial industry was developing, of course, things so much faster that the commercial solutions were better from a security standpoint, in some cases faster, more user-friendly, and they could be developed and change with technology so much faster. So you see here with the GOTS products, the government off-the-shelf products, the government had a lot of control and a lot of assurance, but a really slow process. So I could see the desire to say, wait a minute, there's all these commercial products out there. They're doing great things and they're working really well. We want to use those, but we don't have the same assurance. The insurance might vary. They don't have the same level of confidence. So what other ways can we provide assurances for these products, commercial products, so that we feel comfortable now putting our commercial, our national security system data through these products? Hence, since we're using COTS, it's the commercial solutions for classified program. So I want to talk a little bit about the mechanics of how the CSFC program works. First, it's a program run by the NSA, more specifically the IAD within the NSA. It's the Information Assurance Directorate. And the IAD publishes a set of technical publications called capability packages. Those capability packages are a little bit like a common criteria protection profile, but for systems. Lots of products working together to provide an overall solution. And that capability package is trying to describe product-neutral specifications for how that network or that group of products could be deployed to solve a certain problem. The capability packages give you the specifications of the architecture, but in addition, they're also giving you testing that should be done on those networks, giving you rules for how it should be installed, how it should be maintained, and ultimately how this whole system should be destroyed and gotten rid of, disposed of. So now you have a lot of guidance on here's how you could architect something. Again, not mentioning a specific product vendor, but here's how and the various pieces. And so you're getting a general outline of what that would work. And someone's looked at that and thought through the security implications of that type of deployed solution. So there's guidance. But then the question is, well, which products do I put into that general architected solution? And that's where these canisters come in. So inside of the capability packages, there is a section of canisters. And the canister itself lists the commercial products, the specific brand and model and version number of products that can be deployed in these overall solutions. So now you have a list of commercial products that could be used and how to use them and some guidance around that. If you remember the guy, the vendor that I said that called me up in 2013, he said, I need to go get on this list. And his whole goal was to be included on a list that ultimately fed back into being able to be one of these canisters within those capability packages. So here's a list of the current published capability packages, CPs. There are four that are currently published in various iterations. You see the VPN capabilities. One has gone through numerous versions. They're up to version 3.2. There's four that are in development right now. One of the things you'll quickly notice is there's a lot of similar names in the top list and the bottom list, meaning really a lot of what we're doing right now, or they are doing, is updating the versions of these existing capability packages. So there's really five technology areas that you'll see here that either have a capability package or one is being developed for. Well, five, that's not huge, but that speaks to just where the program is. It's a relatively new program, and they're building it up. Talking with the CSFC folks over at NSA, they said, yes, of course we plan on writing more capability packages. That's absolutely our goal. It takes time, and we're getting direction from the larger DoD, speaking with them about what's the needs, what are the highest security needs, and that helps dictate what capability packages they're trying to write. And, of course, they're trying to get more vendors listed as capable of being put into these overall solutions. But an interesting thing is watching the flow of how the drive to write these packages affects other standards. If you remember, I'm talking about that holistic view. Over the past couple years, it's been fun watching. IAD had a specific goal of getting out a mobility capability package, the one listed up here, mobile devices, mobile servers, and so forth. I work a lot in the common criteria space, and over the past year and a half, 2 years, there's been a huge push to get the mobility protection profiles written. And that's no coincidence. They had an interest for a capability package, and as they have interest in future capability packages, the IAD will have a focus on, that will direct what NIAP is doing, producing protection profiles. So you can see how it all kind of interacts together. So as you know what capability packages IAD cares about, you will also know what PPs are likely to be coming or what NIAP is going to be interested in creating. And so you see how that's working together. You mentioned, or I mentioned, the layered COTS products is what was called out in the CNSSP, layered products. Well, I'm a big fan of this kind of layered solution. We've had a lot of wonderful chocolate cake every day at lunch. Anything with chocolate in, I just love. I'm a chocolate guy. So this is a layered solution I'll get behind. But the type of layered solution, the layered COTS products that the CNSSP is referring to is layered redundant functionality, duplicate products. And at first I thought this might be, oh, all right, the DoD defense in depth philosophy, where you're going to have multiple different types of products that offer an overall perimeter protection. You have your firewall working with your intrusion detection system and your antivirus installed on the actual asset, and all those pieces working together kind of give you defense in depth. Which is interesting because I don't know if you've looked at the, I'm not from the military, so I didn't study a lot of this, but as I talked to some of my folks that have been in the military, they said, you know, actually that's not exactly what defense in depth really meant. In the IT space, that's what they're using it for, but defense in depth had more traditionally been on the battlefield. You had multiple battle points that you were willing to actually give ground. You'd fight battle, reduce resources, and then you would pull back to a specified line that you'd already achieved. And the whole idea here is you're giving ground in certain areas so that you can flank and move around. So it's not the exact definition of defense in depth. But the way the IT group has used it, the DoD has referred to defense in depth, is certainly the multiple products working together. But that's not what they mean in this case for layered solutions. In this case, it's truly redundant functionality, not different functionality, but the same. So the best way I can use to describe this is the VPN capability package actually calls for two hardware VPNs in series. So the communication starts, goes into the first VPN. That first VPN starts up a tunnel and then pushes that tunnel into the second VPN, which of course nests that and puts another tunnel around it. So now you have nested tunnels, VPN tunnels, from one site to another. And they're doing this with two different product vendors' VPNs, not the same product vendor, so two different product vendors' VPNs. The reason they're being is they're creating redundancy. They're also creating two independent products that hopefully will not fail in the same way at the same time. The goal is, you see all this list of independents, so they're looking for product vendors that have different cryptographic libraries implemented, different host operating systems on these hardware, different source code bases, different developers, and maybe even different administrators within the federal agency running these things. And at that point, there's lots of independence between these two. So if there was malicious code in one of these devices, if there was a zero-day attack that came up in one of these devices, it's highly unlikely that both of them, made by different vendors and different code bases, would be susceptible to the same thing at the same time. So even if one did fail, you would still have the other. That's the type of layered COTS product solution that they're looking for and that they have in these different capability packages. So layered redundant functionality. Earlier I mentioned that they were different vendors' products. And when the program first started, that was absolutely the goal. Completely different vendors, Cisco and Juniper, if you will. But now, because a lot of these large multinational companies have competing products in their own product space, so underneath, you know, vendor A, they might have multiple products that do very similar functionality, sometimes through acquisition, sometimes just to kind of see which product survives as they outcompete each other. They've made an exception that if the vendor themselves, the onus is on the vendor, if the vendor can show that there's real independence between these two products, you could use two products in series together in one of these solutions that are from the same product vendor, but they have to have real independence. So maybe they are two different development teams, two different code bases, and so forth. So you do have the ability to layer with the same product, but with justification. So I spent a little bit of time talking about layering the COTS products and how that's giving them confidence in the overall solution. I want to talk about how we build up assurance of that overall solution by looking at validation and certification. So this whole week, well, half the week, we've been speaking about cryptographic module testing and validation. And at the core of the assurance for this program is that you have cryptographic modules that have to be certified. There's a requirement for CAVP testing of cryptographic modules. And that cryptographic module receives its certification, but that cryptographic module lives within a larger product that's providing overall security functions, more than just cryptography. So that overall product needs to seek some type of validation, common criteria evaluation of that product, to show that those security functions that are being offered to the overall system are secure and truly implemented. So that's the product evaluation components, the cryptographic module and the CC evaluation, where it's looking at the overall product security functionality. But if you remember back to my ripped apart camera, we don't want to just look at the parts, we want to look at the whole. So nested on top of all of that, with our Russian nesting dolls, you have the guidance provided within the capability package. So the capability package gives you that installation guidance of not just how to use these products or how to find which ones are secure or been tested and validated so you have assurance in them, but also now here's how you should configure them, here's how you should use them, here's how you should test them when they're in the overall system. So you have that additional layer of security at the system level now. There's a couple other pieces of assurance that are gained in this model that don't nest quite the same. But I do want to mention them because I do think they're important. One of them is that there's a trusted integrator program as part of this the overall CSFC program. And trusted integrators have signed a memorandum of agreement with the NSA, their system integrators, their commercial entities, and they have demonstrated a certain confidence with the capability packages, the goals of the CSFC program itself, and then they can go to government agencies and help with the installation or do the pulling of products, configuration, installation of these setups. And now they have experience doing them multiple times. So the idea is, well, okay, versus a government agency and their IT department, which I'm sure is great, but if they're not doing this consistently, there could be other things that the trusted integrators might know just from doing it multiple times over and over. So the trusted integrators program provides some additional assurance that things will be set up and configured correctly. In addition to that, there's another interesting aspect of this where the NSA, or IAD specifically, requires the federal agencies that are deploying these solutions based on these capability packages to register those solutions with the IAD group. So now the Commercial Solutions for Classified group is aware of which federal agencies are deploying products compliant with these capability packages. So, if there is a vulnerability or a problem or something they become aware of that could be an issue for one of these deployments, they can proactively reach back out to those government agencies and say, you might need to tweak this setting or you might need to remove that product. So now there's some self-healing as well. So certification can become stagnant, but the proactive updating that can come can also help those federal agencies. So that's where the layers of assurance start to really build up. Let's go back to the person that called me in 2013 and said, I need to get on a list. Like I said, part of what he was doing is trying to navigate this maze. He's trying to navigate around and figure out, how do I go get here? I don't want to sell. That little circle in the center, I want to sell. How do I get there? And so the answer to him was, well, you need to be on the CSFC components list. And those were the products that were able to be named in those canisters in the capability package. Okay, how do we get him there? We need to get him on the components list. So where's the components list? Well, it's not this one. This is the DISA UCAPL list, the Unified Capabilities Approved Products list. This is a requirement list if you want to sell into the DoD. The UCAPL requires a set of information assurance testing performed by a government laboratory, some evidence of common criteria and FIPS evaluation, as well as STIG testing and penetration testing. But that's just one piece of UCAPL. There's also an interoperability set of testing that's done by a government-run lab. So you'd finish your interoperability testing as well, and then you can be placed up on the DISA UCAPL. But that wasn't the list he was trying to get on. There's another list. That's not the list either. This is the NIAP PCL, the product compliance list. So this is a good list too. This is the list of products that have completed an evaluation against a NIAP-approved protection profile. And that's a great list. In fact, part of moving towards being on the CSFC list is to at least be in process to getting on the products compliant list. So you have to have started your common criteria evaluation if you want to be on the CSFC components list. So great list, really important. We do a lot of common criteria consulting, but that's not the list yet either. It's not the FIPS CMVP list either, but it is this list. This is the list that he was trying to get on, which is published and available. It is the CSFC components list. And you'll see, it's a little small, but you can see the vendor, they describe the product and the specific version, and then kind of where they are with their compliance. Do they have all the CC evaluations at this point? Do they have all the appropriate algorithm testing and so forth? And that status is listed there. And when you're on that list, this isn't the magic list, but it is a list that allows you to be placed in solutions that are defined in those capability packages. So this is where my vendor was trying to get. So how do we get there? Well, there's about four main steps that you need to go through. And I'm excited about these steps because, well, I'm not excited about the steps. I'm excited about the way the program is architected because it leveraged existing programs that we were already there and didn't try to invent its own new thing. So let me just walk you through the four main steps so you know how to get there. The first step is there's a questionnaire up on the CSFC website. It's a three-page document, fairly simple. Product name, product version, security functions offered, which capability packages would this product apply to, and so forth. It also has a section where you have to say, where am I with my common criteria evaluation, and where are you with your FIPS 140-2 evaluation? So that's the questionnaire. You fill that out. You send that in to the NSA. Step number two, the NSA says, great, thank you for your questionnaire. Here's a memorandum of agreement I would like you to sign. So now you're signing a contractual agreement with the NSA. And inside that agreement, there's a couple different things going on. One is there's a indication or an agreement that you, the product vendor, acknowledges by being put on this list, there's no guarantee that the government is going to buy it, just that you can be purchased. Okay, well, that makes sense. Of course, there's no guarantee that they'll buy it. There's a statement that makes sure everyone acknowledges that the NSA can remove the product from the list. Maybe there's a security vulnerability. Maybe the product vendor isn't keeping their FIPS and CC certifications up to date, so they can remove the product from the list. There's an item that says the product vendor can remove their product from the list. Maybe they don't want to support that product anymore. Maybe they had two different competing products, and they really want to sell the other one, so they're going to pull something off the list to focus on one core product that they're trying to move the market towards. So the vendor can remove the products from the list. And then the last agreement I think is particularly interesting, and I think vendors need to be aware of it, which is there's an agreement that you will proactively inform the NSA of changes to your product that could impact security. And, well, this makes sense. Remember, I talked a little bit about how the NSA wants to proactively reach out to agencies and tell them when there are problems. Well, this is partially how they're getting that information. But it does put the onus on the vendor. They're signing an agreement that says, I'm going to provide you with information to just let you know I've made some changes that could impact security. Lots of things can impact security, so I'll leave it to each vendor to decide how they're going to interpret all of that. You know, I don't actually know if there's a requirement for the exact format or how that works. I bet that's a really good question to bump up against somebody from the CSFC specifically. I'd have to look into it. I think the core requirement, though, is to make sure the information is flowing. I don't know if there's a requirement for the format. So those were the first two items in our four-item checklist to get listed. So you had a questionnaire, you have the memorandum of agreement, then you have the requirement for common criteria evaluation, which I talked about, the nesting assurance. You don't have to have completed a common criteria evaluation, but you do have to be in process for a common criteria evaluation against a NIAP-approved protection profile. And also, the CSFC will spend a little bit of time talking to the NIAP lab or whatever lab happens to be performing that evaluation to find out, well, how close to finished are they? How is that progressing? Are they likely to finish in a reasonable amount of time? In addition to item number three, item number four on our checklist is CAVP algorithm testing. Not just the testing, but the completed certificates. So you do have to have the CAVP testing on the algorithms that are being specified in the capability package, and that testing has to be completed. So those are your four items: questionnaire, memorandum of understanding, a memorandum of agreement, CC, and CAVP testing. Oh, yes. I'm sorry?
What if it's an algorithm like SHA-3 that's currently non testable, but you can't claim by self-ask?
I don't know what they do with that in that specific case. I think we would have to ask them as well. I'm just not sure. I think ultimately, and I'll explain this a little bit more later, their main focus is on the Suite B set of algorithms, and I don't believe that SHA-3 is currently listed there. So it may not, it may be a non-starter because it may not be one of the included algorithms. And that may become more clear later on. So I promised that I would tie these different standards together a little bit, so I wanted to spend some time on that. You have the requirement for CAVP testing. Well, and a lot of folks are pursuing CAVP testing because they're on the road to FIPS 140-2 certification. You don't have to. You can use the CAVP testing program just to test algorithms. But the vast majority of folks that are using it are headed towards FIPS 140-2. Also tying in cryptographic module validation is the NIAP-approved protection profiles. Many of them do have a FCS section, a cryptographic services section, that list cryptographic algorithm implementations that they expect in this product. And those evaluations, when you're evaluating against a NIAP-approved protection profile, in many times what they're looking for is CAVP testing of those algorithms as evidence that those algorithms are implemented correctly. So again, another tie-in with the cryptographic module validation. Finally, I wanted to mention Suite B, because all of the capability packages specifically call out Suite B algorithms should be used. So if you're familiar with Suite A and Suite B, Suite A algorithms are a classified set of algorithms that are not generally available in the public. Suite B, which you'll hear a lot more about from Tony in your next talk, Suite B is a public set of algorithms that are actually a subset of the total CMVP approved algorithms, focusing on AES, elliptic curve, and SHA, SHA-2 and functions. And so those Suite B algorithms, as we're charting our course in that large certification plan, we need to make sure that we're choosing algorithms for our product that will meet the Suite B criteria, will also meet the NIAP-approved protection profiles, will also be the ones that we're going to be able to take through the CMVP and CAVP evaluations. So there's some strategic planning that we need to do. And likewise, the capability package authors are also trying to line those things all up for you as well. But it's something you have to look at and pay attention to. So it's not just, I have a crypto module, I need to evaluate it. There's a much bigger picture here. I also wanted to mention Suite B, and I really hope I'm not stealing any thunder here, but in case you're not aware, Suite B, it be changing. So Suite B, and recently on their website, up on NIAP, the NSA, Suite B site, they have some concerns about the evolution of quantum computing, and there are some concerns about some of those algorithms not having the strength, obviously, to hold up against a world in which we have quantum computers. You can do big math and factor things really fast. At least we believe so. And so they've changed the key size requirements in Suite B, moving them to the larger key sizes, and they changed the mission statement of Suite B, where it is now more of a band-aid or a holdover until a new set of algorithms that could be quantum computer resistant can be developed. And so I mention this because, again, remember, we're navigating through this maze, trying to figure out how to go get to that circle that I showed you in the middle where the guy just wants to make a sale. But now we're not just going through the maze, but the walls in that maze are moving around. So you need to stay current on what's going on with Suite B, what's going on with capability packages, what's going on with NIAP protection profiles, and what's going on with the CAVP testing program. Right over here, this is a piece of the questionnaire that I mentioned earlier where it calls out the common criteria and FIPS 140-2 fields that have to be filled out. So I know I'm getting down to about 10 minutes or so left, and I do want to leave some time for some dialogue that I said I greatly desire. So let me just end with this thought, which is I hope you understand a little bit more about the CSFC program, some of the mechanics of how it works. I hope you see how the cryptographic module validation is core. All the stuff we've been working on this week and discussing is kind of at the root of the assurance that's being built up through this program. But I also hope you take a step back, whether as a lab, as a product vendor, even as the government agencies looking at all this, and look at that great body of different certification programs out there and realize that vendors are having to chart a course and pick up different certifications and try to find a way to maintain them all in order to put together something that can be purchased by different government entities and not have to have special product for FIPS and special product for other standards. So I think that comprehensive plan is really important from the vendor perspective. And with that, I'll leave up my contact information, but I welcome any questions and I will do my best to answer those. That's great. I did a perfect job. Yes, yes, Dawn.
It seems like the focus is still on the algorithms, but is there any benefit then to doing the CMVP module validation?
Yep.
It doesn't look like there's a check mark for that.
Yeah, and currently there isn't. And admittedly, I know there's a number of talks between the NSA and NIST about that because there is a real goal of making. This is all unofficial, but just I've heard conversations that there's a goal of making the CMVP the requirement, the full module validation, but there were concerns about the timing of how quickly those validations could be achieved. And so I believe the CAVP testing was chosen specifically for time, not necessarily because they thought that was where the only value was. Yeah, no, I think the CMVP, and I think honestly just looking at it, obviously the module program adds value in looking at the whole module. Otherwise, you just trust algorithms. You don't trust keys and all the other key management. So I know it adds a lot of value, and I think they see that. I think it's more, like I said, a concern of time and less of the value being added. And I think over time, hopefully it will be worked over so that it is now the CMVP. That is being required. But obviously, I'm not writing the standard, so I don't know. But that's what my belief is. Yes, Neil.
Hey, Matt. Do you have any experience with the Trusted Integrator Program and how difficult is it to get on that list? Right now, I'm in the process of working with one of the agencies on integrating the global access capability. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, Trusted Integrator. It's not overly complicated. Similar to the checklist I described with getting the product components on the Trusted Integrator program, there is a memorandum of agreement that needs to be signed, probably some meetings with NSA, a memorandum of agreement, and I think it's showing evidence of competency in those capability packages. But if you go to if you Google CSFC or go to the NSA CSFC website, there is a whole section talking about the integrators, and it literally says, here's what you need to do to become a trusted integrator and the steps to follow. I don't think it's an overly burdensome process.
Thank you.
Yep, yep. Other questions? Yes.
Have you heard any conversation regarding the layered protocols with common protocols like TIA
Yeah. I don't know. In fact, somebody asked me about the interoperability concerns when you start putting multiple vendor products together. And admittedly, in this conference, I'm definitely not the smartest person when it comes to networking itself and all the technical details. I'm more of the kind of a policy guy. But my understanding was that if it is just kind of a nested set of tunnels, the second VPN might not really even care what's coming in. There might not be a interoperability concern. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I don't know if there's as much a concern if it's completely nested communication.